Welcome to the Fondcast. I'm Stefan Rudd. I don't think people fully understand how deep this movement is, and when did it start, and how it started. When we talk about Q, and people today, they kind of freak out not having a proper understanding of what Q is. They freak out. We have the, and I'm talking about Republicans. There are people that are on outside of the aisle, on outside of thought concerning where we should be in the country, where the country should be, where it should be headed towards. Okay, we're on the same side ideologically, but there are a lot of Republicans out there who do not trust Q. And there's nothing wrong with that, because if you're not exposed to it, you won't know what it is. If all you hear about Q is something that is a conspiracy group that's, you know, being pushed as an extremist operation on the right side of the aisle, and you're a right leaning person, you're going to kind of not move towards that area because you want to not be one of the crazy ones. This is why they do this stuff in the news, make Q look crazy. But the Q movement started a long time ago, y'all. It didn't start in 2016 when Trump came into office, or rather 17, rather. It started when JFK died. Q was created by military generals as a back channel for information. But the core of the operation, the core of the intel gathering, the core of the secret society, so to speak, that gathered together to plan and operations to take down the deep state and to help that along by getting the people involved. It started after JFK was shot and killed. Isn't it interesting how we have four presidents killed in this country, in the history of this country. And out of those four presidents, three of them were Republican. And the one who wasn't a Republican is the one who was shot because he was a Democrat, but he openly talked about overthrowing the secret societies. He talked about dismantling the central bankers. He talked about restoring us back to, you know, a country that was founded by the people. And he got shot for that. Like Abe Lincoln. Like James Garfield. And William McKinley. They were all killed for wanting to go back to the way things were. And at that point, in my opinion, I believe the Democrats and the deep state realized that JFK, the entire family was probably, most of them were probably Democrats in name only. So we started seeing the Kennedys disappear. But always the Democrats that are, it seems like they don't really get shot too much, do they? Now, I'm sure there were attempts on Obama and Clinton and all the presidents. I get all that. They even shot Ronald Reagan, y'all. He didn't die. But another guy who was fighting against the deep state wanted to restore back to Republic. And if you want to go back even deeper, Andrew Jackson was shot. He didn't die. But he was shot. We can go on and on. These people have been trying to take out anyone who had an idea of trying to go back to the Republic. So when JFK was shot and killed, I think over 200 generals or so, somewhere in that range. It was a lot of generals. Over 100 generals, I'll say, because I can't remember the exact number offhand. My notes aren't right there in front of me on this. I wasn't going to discuss this morning, so I wasn't prepared for that. But over 100 generals or so got together, and they formed the Q movement. Right, not really the Q movement, but they formed the group that was going to later on become Q. Now, here's the thing. Q, what made Q what it is the intel. The military intel. From people who who have access to Q security clearance. They can see everything. And they know what's coming. They can plan stuff. They can plot stuff. They needed a way to plan to overthrow the deep state because they knew how big it was back in the 60s, y'all. They knew how much, when they saw how JFK was killed and it was a CIA hit, they was like, whoa. And it was the first time they realized that the CIA and probably, you know, the FBI, probably some other agencies, because the FBI was all over MLK. By the way, as a sidebar, Martin Luther King Jr. had FBI agents all over him. And I'm talking about people who were right there as his friends. One of them was called Jesse Jackson. He was he is a known FBI informant. A known FBI. It was that picture with Martin Luther King Jr. before he got shot, where he has Jesse Jackson to his right, and his psalmist to the left, the guy that sings for him all the time at services. He had him to the left. He turned to Jackson and says he should have wore a tie. He criticized his tie before getting shot. And then he turned to his songwriter or songist, how you say it, psalmist, his singer. He turned to him and said, sing something, well, Precious Lord is my God, whatever he said. Told him what song to sing. Told him what song to sing. Like, he knew he was getting ready to get shot. Like, Martin Luther King Jr. knew he was going to get shot that day. He absolutely 100% knew. And now we're finding out through files that are now declassified that he had over 5 FBI agents on his detail. One of them was his driver. One of them was his best friend. And one of them also was a cop that was there. And the point I'm making is they realized back in the 60s that this is a deeper issue. We can't communicate anymore with the CIA and the FBI and the other alphabets because they're corrupted. And they had to form this secret group where it's only military intelligence and you had to be approved by their superiors or their, you know, people, the people who was involved with this had to approve everyone that was involved before they even start to, you know, bring you into circles and start showing, you know, info and intel on the enemy, sharing it rather, and then they formed plans. And they knew that the only way to beat them, because when they saw what happened with JFK, it was in broad daylight, y'all. It was in broad daylight. And there's a video out there where CIA agents, you know, whoever they were, six servicemen got off the limousine before making a turn. Are you hearing me? They knew back then that this is a large scale operation. They were shocked and they had to pull away from the intel community because they realized that the office was being controlled by somebody else, the DOJ. Everyone in Washington was being controlled by someone else, and it had to be deeper. It was deeper than what, you know, than what it seemed, you know, first, clearly, because they can pull off a hit like that and then run it on the news as if it was one shooter. They literally ran on the news as if it was one shooter. And for years, the argument is still on the table that it was one shooter, despite the fact that we see his head go forward and then back. And then now we're seeing that there's possibly a third shooter, the driver in the freaking limousine. Government hits. So Q was formed. And it took them a while to get to where we are because they had to wait for technology to abound before they can really do their plan. They had to find a way to catch these people in the act of doing the crimes that they were planning to do and doing. And this was the only way to get it done. So now we're here today. And the people realize what Q is and they're freaking out, panicking because they know what's coming. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/StephanRudd. I'm still in Facebook jail for about 20, I think 21 days. I don't even care anymore. 21 more days in Facebook jail. The Facebook correctional facility, you know, where the food is terrible. So I'm still there for a while. And also you can follow me on Telegram, t.me/StephanRudd. I post the same stuff on Facebook as on Telegram. So you're not missing anything at all by being on one of those channels. So, also I'm on rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com/C/StephanRudd. Subscribe to my page. My channel. When I do these podcasts, I have an audio version. I have a video version. The video version so far doesn't have any moving parts yet. Just a still shot of me and me speaking, but that's going to change eventually. So you can find me there, and you can get the same thing. You know, I'm also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. I'm on all of them. Amazon. I should be on Pandora. I should be on. If not, let me know. And I'll fix it. I should be on iHeart too. And I should also be on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. Okay. TuneIn app. So there's more too. There's some ones that are only in certain areas like India and stuff that had different names. Like I can't remember. These or whatever. Something like that. I should be on all the major apps. Okay. And if not, then just come to the rumble.com website and you can see me over there. Okay. All right. So. Yeah, I had a thing here on my screen popping up here. So I'm gonna take 5 minutes to finish this monologue here. So we have this Q movement that started way back when, that's now finally coming to fruition. They had to wait until technology abounded. Why? Because until we had digital technology, it was really hard to capture these people. You have to actually have an actual wire to record people. See, back in the day, it really was wiretapping. When they went after the mob bosses, and they had to monitor mob bosses, they literally had to send somebody in there with a wire on them. And that was going on up until like the early 2000s. Not just mob bosses, but anyone. You had to put a wire on somebody. They have a show about that called The Wire. And so they literally had to do that. But then when they brought in the iPhones, and they brought in the LGs and the Samsungs and all these smartphones. Because when I was in high school, we had pagers. Okay? We didn't have cell phones. We had pagers. Then when I got to my last year in college, in high school, they started having cell phones that you can buy. They had it before, but they were the big kind that you couldn't put in your pocket, okay? But they made them smaller, and it was just black and white, you know, or whatever the background was, with black lettering, you know, on there. That's all it was. It was a basic phone. Didn't have no text messages. Didn't have none of that garbage on it. It was just strictly a phone to call somebody, okay? And if you wanted to text somebody something, you had to page them. They had to page and we had to beep them. So that was what I grew up in. And then when I got to a college, my first year of college, they had, you know, it was more common to have cell phones. But it was all analog. And analog can't be tracked or traced. Just because it's not on a grid. But the moment they put the high speed internet out there, and then they put all the cell phones onto digital. Now every cell phone now, just about, except for these cheap little throwaway phones, all the cell phones now are now digital. So now we're on the grid. And in this space, everything you do is recorded. If you go on Facebook and make a tweet, a post, and all of a sudden, I don't want to say that anymore. This is a bad post. You delete it, it doesn't go away. Everything that they get sent to the net, to the web, is forever. Somewhere it's captured. You can bleach bit it. Everything. It doesn't matter. It's still there somewhere. You can recover deleted files on your hard drive. You can recover websites wiped out online. More importantly, every message you send via text is recorded somewhere forever. Forever. So the grid was created. Technology had abounded. Now the grid was created. Now, why is that important? Because now that the grid is created, it makes it difficult for people to cheat and steal. See, the mafia bosses back then, they couldn't survive in this day and age. Because back then, you had to get a wire, go undercover, risk your life, just to monitor what they were doing. Nowadays, they can just get a FISA warrant from the courts and just tap right into your phone from remote. You don't need to go undercover anymore and get a wire. What's the point? My point is, the people at the top of the cabal, they have not figured this out yet. This is why Trump calls them, he says, they're not very smart people. They have not figured out that you're on the grid, dummy. And you're up there typing, you know. Now they say, well, I'm not typing in a text. I'm using WhatsApp, or I'm using the game chat on the EA Sports game or whatever, the Star Wars game. You're still on the grid, sir. So they've been spending years and years monitoring the comps. The military, white hat DOJ members, secretly. This is why we're seeing Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff shocked that they're being monitored, that all this time they were being monitored by Trump. Like, you just now figured out, man, that you're on the grid? Did you think that the door swings one way and you are the only ones who can get a FISA warrant to spy on people? And the reality is, President Trump, President Obama, he didn't even have a legal FISA warrant when he first spied. Trump did it the right way. That's why they're freaking out even more. Because he's following the rule of law the entire time. He hasn't broken one law yet. Versus the deep state, they will break laws left and right to maintain control. So, even this thing with Trump and deep state and this fight against him, he's not breaking the law. Even when he does an EO, like the one from 2018 that gives him the right to confiscate property and assets and businesses and corporations, when they are found working in collusion with foreign governments to steal an election. You know what I mean? So that's not you know, a legal right. He can't do that. He actually can. And guess what? He didn't need the executive order to do so. And I went into this here a little bit on Facebook, I mean on Telegram yesterday. But the 14th Amendment, y'all, it gives Trump certain privileges that he didn't have before. The 14th Amendment is so big. I believe that it's the one amendment, the one part of the Constitution right now that's going to annihilate the entire Democratic Party when this is over. God willing, and Trump, you know, Godspeed with him, and you know, stay alive and everything. Let's keep it real, because it takes one lucky shot and this is over. So we got to pray for our president. But if God willing and Godspeed with him, do you realize that this one amendment can destroy everything? I'm going to go ahead and I'm not going to, because the people who haven't heard it before, I want to hear it today. First of all, the 14th Amendment, y'all, is the civil rights, or rather the amendment that makes people, that declares who is a U.S. citizen in this country, okay? And who has, therefore, equality of rights as a U.S. citizen in America. That's important, because this is one of the three Civil War what they call the Civil War amendments that came after the Civil War, like the ending of slavery, the right to vote, okay, for everyone to vote, the ending of slavery, 13. 12 was the one giving everyone the right to vote. Okay, and then 13 was the one ending slavery. And also in redefining, but making sure that people understand that if you commit a crime, then you do lose some rights, but you still have civil rights, but you lose some of your freedoms. You see, I had to say it because you got so many idiots out there talking about the 13th Amendment needs to be amended. And I'm hearing this from black folks. I'm like, do you realize, you big dummy, that this amendment is primarily the only thing keeping your black tail and my black tail from being whipped in chains? I mean, the amount of stupid in this country is astounding to me. And I've had these arguments before with black people. I'm like, you can't be this dumb, man. What you talking about, man? Dude, read. So I had to show this one guy. I'm on a rant here, but I'm gonna get it out. I had to show one guy. I said, do you know what's even in the amendment? Yeah, it's the one where they try to legalize slavery. And slavery is new racism. Really? How is that? Look at how many people are black are in jail. Look at the stats of who's committing the crimes. Who is committing the crimes? 55% of all assaults in America are by black people in hoods. And the problem is, we're only 13% of the freaking population. I'm sorry. I can't stand stupid people. I hate saying the word stupid all the time, but you know, but it irks me. Like, get your facts straight, man. We're not being targeted by police. I'm on a tangent. I'm on a rant. I know I'm at. I didn't forget where I went. I didn't forget where I am. Okay, I know where I am. Don't worry. But it's a stupid argument. If we are committing 55% of the assaults and almost 70% of the robberies, and then 55% also of the 57% rather of all homicides with a gun. With 13% of the freaking population. So the white people make up almost 7% of the country, and they're committing less crimes than us? We're not being targeted, Einstein. They are arresting us because we're not holding ourselves accountable for our own evil behaviors. You can't blame everything on slavery, y'all, because nobody is alive today even saw slavery. It's a stupid argument. You mad at somebody white today whose mother and father never owned a slave in their life. You mad at that white person. And he or she isn't even, they're like 20 years old. 10 years old maybe, even in school. You're mad at them for something that their mother and father didn't even see. So the 13th Amendment, y'all, is the one that gives people the right to be free. Everyone. All colors. Free. But in there, it has to outline who can't have all the rights back yet. And if you commit a crime, you should lose some of your rights. Not your civil rights. You know, they can't abuse you and mistreat you in jail like they've been doing for a while. But they can take away your right to be free, to roam around and do what you want to do, because you have violated that when you took away someone else's civil rights by killing them, by robbing them. When you take away someone else's right to live in peace and harmony, then you lose your rights to be in that same environment. It's common sense, y'all. So the 14th Amendment, nothing I just said has anything to do with where I'm going today. But anyway, it's something that I just feel in my heart, and I gotta get it out. The 14th Amendment, y'all. Like, what? How do we get over there? The 14th Amendment. I'm gonna read part of it to you. It says, "No person shall be senator, representative in Congress, or an elector of president or and vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States, or under any state," because it's in both the U.S. I mean, both the federal government and the state government. You can't hold any office anywhere. This is very clear, because I have to say that it's about the congressmen, senators, president, vice president, right? Also, if you're a military, you can't be a general. You can't be you can't serve in military at all, right? I'm giving you that outline. Now, on the state level, mayors, governors, we can go on. You can't hold any office, any governmental office, who have previously taken an oath as a member of Congress. It is make sure everyone's included, or as an officer of the U.S., or as a member of any state legislature, right? Or as any executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution. Okay, now, here it says, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or have given aid or comfort to the enemies who are of insurrection. That part isn't there. It says thereof, but thereof in this context means people who are involved with insurrection. So if you give aid and comfort to people involved with insurrection activities, you can't hold any office at all in the government or the military. Now, let me translate what that means. You're not a legal U.S. citizen anymore. How can I say that? Because everyone who's born of the U.S. has the opportunity to serve in government because you are a U.S. citizen. But when you, and this is why this was put in the 14th Amendment, where it discusses the beginning of this amendment primarily deals with who is a U.S. citizen and who's not. And then they come down where you lose the right to be declared one. Don't say that directly, but you can apply if you engage in insurrection. Why? Because you're now become a treasonous actor. And when you commit treason, see, it's one thing to commit a felony. You know, I can still, you know, I can be a low-level thief in the election. Ballot harvesting, okay, whatever, right? I'll just be a felon. But if you're in office and you're a governor, you're a mayor, you're whatever you are, congressman, and you help steal the election, you're not just a felon. You are a treasonous actor because you had the power. You had the power. You have more authority than I had. You are a treasonous actor, which means that you're now, your rights are gone. You'll be tried as an enemy combatant. And if you look at other laws, When you are convicted of treason, you lose your rights to be a citizen in this country. You are a traitor. They don't just call it traitor for nothing, y'all. You are a traitor to the country. And when you are a traitor, you're not a U.S. citizen anymore. You're now being, this is why they have tribunals not on U.S. soil. You've noticed that? It's always, you know, it's always going to be in Cuba. I can't remember the other place. They have a couple of black op sites and stuff. But they do it in a different country or in D.C. Because D.C. is in U.S. soil. Okay. So it's pretty clear and cutthroat that if you are, you know, if you are an insurrectionist or someone that's in a rebellion against the country, or if you are a supporter, you know, one who comforts and aids. What that really means is aid, meaning just give money to them. Doesn't mean, you know, I'm helping you do it. It means I'm giving you money so you can continue to do it. Now, comfort here is an old word, but we don't use that word anymore to describe certain things. That word comfort would mean today protect. Okay. The Bible even used the word comfort a lot too. Comforter, you know, which means a protector mostly. You know, when God comforts you, you know, I know I'm getting spiritual here. When God comforts you, he protects you from something. You're weeping, you're crying, you're hurt, and God comes to put his arm around you to protect you from whatever is hurting you. Okay? So the word comfort here, this is old terms that have been used for years, and we're now using different terms now. It means to protect in this case. So If you provide protection for them, from what? From litigation. If you give them money, if you fund them, I want you, I got to lay it out for you. I want you to hear this. If you give them money so they can cause insurrection or incite a rebellion, or and or if you protect them from litigation, then you are considered, you forfeit your seat in the government. Let's move on to Section 4 of the same amendment. This one deals with debt and the government spending. But I want you to hear this here because I don't think anyone's ever read this part before, like read out loud and taught it in this setting. This is Article 14, Section 4, okay, Constitution. Excuse me. The validity of the public debt of the U.S., United States, authorized by law, including debts occurred for payment of pensions and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, excuse me, shall not be questioned, meaning that there's no oversight over that. No one has the right to say, well, we need to do an audit on the government to find out what they're buying and what they're spending. No, you don't audit the government, number one. You don't, no one audits the government at all, ever. So this right here, that one part basically says no one audits the government. No one has the right to audit, you know, and find out what they're doing with the money, right? Okay, so it just establishing, and of course it says also, even when we're trying to suppress and stop insurrection, no one has the right to question us. The IRS, nobody does. All right, we're moving on here. But neither the United States nor the state, okay, once again, when the U.S., is the federal government, and the state are the state governments. The country is made up of 50 states that came together, and then we kind of created the federal government out of that. So we had the state government first to unify together, and then we had the federal government that came out of that. So it's like Adam and Eve. The states, the states are Adam, and out of Adam, God took a rib out and made Eve. Right? I'm not being sober this year. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So here, the states was Adam, and out of the states, they brought up the federal government. Okay, so it wasn't the other way around. That's important because we think that the federal government has more power than the state governments. It is not true, and we're seeing it now. We're seeing states stand up against the tyranny because it was never designed for the federal government to have rule of law over the states. That was never the intent, y'all. It was never the intent. It was only to provide a national governing body to assist the states in their own laws, to settle disputes between states. Are you hearing me? It was never designed to be this blanketed government that taxes the world. You're only supposed to be taxed by the state. You're not supposed to be taxed by the federal government. Even though taxes weren't even a part of the original Constitution anyway. But that's sidebar. Moving right along here. Are you aware that the federal tax in history, in all histories in America, it was only before the Civil War was over, before they killed Lincoln? Until that time, a federal tax was only issued as a temporary thing. If we had a war, either here or elsewhere in the world, then we would, you know, after the war was over, there would be a temporary federal tax for months or maybe a year, however long it was, and then they will stop it after they've settled the debts. It was a temporary tax just to pay back, for all the damages that were done and so on and so forth. And somehow, some way, at some point in time, after Lincoln got killed, it was made permanent. Whatever. That's just stuff. All right, move here. So, but neither the United States or any state shall assume or pay any debt. Shall assume or pay any debt or obligation incurred in aid of insurrection. What did it say? I'm going to read it first and tell you what it says, what it means. Or rebellion against the United States, or any claim for the loss of emancipation of any slave, but all such debts, obligations, and claims shall be held illegal and void. Let me translate what they're saying here. This is probably the most important piece of this article, or this amendment now, based on what's happening today. What they're saying is, basically is, they're not obligated to pay any debts while trying to suppress insurrection and rebellion, right? Also, the last part where it says, but all such debts, which ones? The ones that are being used to incite insurrection, to fund insurrection, to aid insurrection, okay, to protect insurrectionists. All such debts, all such debts, obligations, and claims shall be held illegal and void. Now, we know what void means. Void means it didn't happen, right? They just reverse it. Like if I made an error on the cash machine, cash machine. Where did that come from, yo? Oh my God, the cash register. I'm only 43 years old, but this is I don't know why I said that. So when you have a mistake on the cash register, you can void it out, right? And when you void out, what happens? You reverse what happened, like it never happened. A refund, a correction, right? It says all those funds are illegal. Now, the context here is about insurrection, right? So if we're talking about insurrection, and if you give funds to someone to help them become an insurrectionist, what they're really saying is that the funds are illegal. Now, if it's illegal, and you're saying that I committed treason, then isn't that a treasonous act? Now, watch here. This is important. This is important now, because I'm gonna hit this home. I'm gonna get off this topic here with that soon. So that means that if I'm in the government, right? If I'm in the Congress and I help, you know, a BLM, I help Antifa. I donate to Antifa, to BLM. I provide funds for them. I give them aid. I give them. We find ways to raise money from taxpayers to give to them, right? Or let's say Mark Zuckerberg, who's helping them to hide the truth while supporting, you know, the propaganda. Every company, every agency, every group, anything that's involved with receiving money from the government or from someone that got money from the government, see, is filing the money. See, I can be a third party in this. The government can give money to this agency for the purposes of pushing an agenda, and I get it from them. So, and then I might say, you know what? I'm going to hire some fake guy to go protest for me, and I give the money to that person. Everyone in that chain has committed treason. Now, the person on the bottom, though, is not really he's not really committed treason more so than it is sedition. Okay, there's a difference in, you know, 22. That's a felony. You know, you can be charged with sedition, and that's like a class one felony. But treason is something that you lose your rights to be a citizen, and you go to Gitmo. You get tried as an enemy combatant. So think about the companies that are involved. Think about who's involved. Think about Fox, MSNBC, CNN, all the money they're getting to report a certain agenda in the quest to get rid of Trump. I want you to hear it, to hide the truth of what's happening here. Did Trump really need a 2018 EO to confiscate anything? No, because the 14th Amendment, Section 4, states that any money given to incite rebellion or an insurrection or to aid them or to comfort them is going to be deemed as illegal funds and void. It never happened. And if it never happened, they're not going to pay the debt, which means that somebody owes some money. Uh-oh. But they don't have it anymore. So what are you going to do? Lock them up. I'm sorry, that last one was too close to the microphone. They're going to lock them up, y'all. They're going to lock them up. It's a wrap for them. They committed treason. They committed treason. And they know it. They know it's over for them. That's why they're freaking out over Arizona. Because it's not about the intel, the information rather. It's about people realizing that they cheated. They already know it was over either way. But when they lose the support of the people, then they freak out because they know that their time is short. So Trump can remove these people just off of the 14th Amendment alone. Now watch this here. What's going to happen when we find out that the Federal Reserve bankers, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and the Morgans and so on, that they were all a part of this too. They were funding this thing. What happens when that part comes out? Were they the ones funding the government to fund BLM, to fund this, to fund that? What happens when you follow the money not just down but also up? You can take them all down at one time. All the funds are now illegal. They're all illegal. They're all confiscated. Because when you void it out, you put it back, right? So if the Federal Reserve bankers are the ones funding all this stuff here, and let's say that that's like trillions of dollars, you know, going towards, you know, BLM and all these groups or whatever that are out there doing these things, and not just them, but Facebook and Twitter and everyone else, they're getting paid to shut up. They're getting paid to make their agenda go through and the truth go away. The mainstream media, Hollywood. What happens when all those funds get traced back up to the top again? When you void out, right? So when you void out, what happens? Well, you owe us money, Federal Reserve. You owe us $100 trillion. I'm just throwing out, you know, a number. And what happens when they don't, you know, we don't have it? Oh, you don't have it? Your company's mine. You're being shut down. Or even if they have it, you get hit with RICO charges now. Because it's organized crime. So, not just for this here, y'all, but also for child trafficking. And everything. This is all going to take them down. Take them all down, y'all. This one thing here will take down the deep state without Trump having to do anything else. He don't need any more laws. He don't need any more. Nothing else has to be done. It was already done 200 years ago, y'all. This amendment was not around that long, but 100 something years ago. This was 100, what, 20, 50? I don't know offhand. But you get the point, though. It was already done. They know this. And as a matter of fact, in the Second Amendment, Article 4, I believe, states that all officers can be removed through impeachment for insurrection and rebellion. Every single one of them can remove. Well, who removes them? U.S. Marshals, the military. So no one is safe. There's a piece, you know, in the Insider magazine here. It says, Facebook failed to protect against teen sex trafficking court rules, paving the way for tech companies to be held liable when they're used for criminal activity. Now watch this. This is an important piece, y'all. This is a case in Texas that is overriding everything that's going on in Washington. The Texas Supreme Court ruled Friday that Facebook can be held liable for sex traffickers that use its platform to recruit and prey on child victims. As the Houston Chronicle reported, the ruling followed three local lawsuits involving teenage victims who had met their traffickers through Facebook messaging tools. The plaintiffs said Facebook was negligent and did not attempt to key sex offenders off its technology. How about that? They can remove a Patriot. But they can't. I'm in Facebook jail now for saying COVID is fake. But you let a pedophile go up there and get girls and boys. Facebook has argued that it is shielded by the protections of Section 230, part of an internet law that states online platforms are not liable for what people post on their services and should therefore not be held responsible for what is being posted on this platform. Now watch this here. But the Texas Supreme Court said that Section 230 doesn't mean Facebook can operate as a lawless no man's land. Holding internet platforms accountable for the words or actions of their users is one thing, and the federal precedent uniformly dictates this in the law itself. Doesn't allow it. So basically, Facebook is arguing, instead of saying, look, we're sorry, we want to settle outside of court and get over with. They're not doing that. They're defending why they protected the sex traffickers, the child sex traffickers. Are you aware that crimes against humanity is treason? It's considered, you know, a rebellion. Are you aware of that, y'all? It's not necessarily an insurrection, but it is a rebellion because why? Because the Constitution states that everyone has the right to be free, treated fairly. And not only that, slavery has been abolished by the 13th Amendment that, ironically, the Democrats are trying to remove. And what's crazy is they're trying to remove it because they want to continue their child trafficking rings. You know, McAfee says, John McAfee, before he died, a few years back, he made a claim, and I can't remember who he said, but he said the head of the border security or the border, something like that. I don't want to get it wrong and say the wrong thing, but it's a little video clip on Twitch, or rather TikTok. He said that the head of immigrations, okay, border immigration, whatever, is the biggest child trafficker. I'm not sure which one he was referring to. This is back in 2018. So it might have been whoever was over at 17. So probably it probably was somebody on Obama's term. But he or she was the biggest child trafficker, he said, in the world. In the world. He didn't say in the country, the whole world. This guy was at the top. The point I'm making is, and questioning me, the girl that interviewed her was so freaked out by that. She was freaked out by that. She said, well, we don't want to get killed, so let's change the topic. She literally said that, you know, something to that effect. And they changed topics. But that's considered a treasonous act. You're rebelling against the Constitution. It's one thing, you know, to commit murder. But you're legalizing slavery again. No, you're not doing it with blacks anymore. Oh, good for you. You solved the blacks being slave issue. You really did, because no one voted for it but Republicans. Okay, the 12th Amendment to vote. I can go on about that. I want to spend time on that because I lose focus again. But so they don't like that amendment because it abolishes slavery, and sex trafficking and child trafficking is still slavery. It's just a different kind of slavery. So they're over here freaking out now. Facebook is defending. It's unbelievable. They're in court defending protecting child traffickers and sex traffickers and pedophiles who snatch kids up on Facebook, posing as some girl or some guy, you know, that's real cute, whatever. And then they meet up and they get snatched up. And they're saying here, the judge in Texas said no, you could be charged, at least in this state, you could be charged. You can be indicted, rather, on charges because you're allowing crimes to be committed right on your platform and you know about it. You are fully aware of it. They didn't say, "Oh, we didn't know what's happening." They said, "Well, we can't touch them because of the fact that they're covered under that Section 230 law, which states that Facebook is not liable for anything or responsible, or they can't stop anyone from basically saying what they want to say on Facebook, right?" But you're silencing Republicans, you're silencing patriots. So my point is, they're beginning to see that they're collapsing under their own weight, their own sins. They're falling under their own weight of their own crimes. And we're going to see more states do this. Here's an article here. That was the last piece was in The Insider. This one is in The Daily Wire. And I'm reading the headline and then tell you what it says, because it's kind of long here, but it's related here. It says, police say Marilyn Manson agrees to turn himself to LAPD on an active warrant from 2019. Rocker is charged with two counts of simple assault stemming from an alleged incident at a concert in New Hampshire. Now, this piece here is garbage. No, it's a good paper, by the way. Daily Wire is good. Okay, they're good people. But the reporting comes from someone else. They report from a different a paper. I can't remember which one offhand. I think it's a CNN or whatever. But they report, LA Times. They're reporting the story from LA Times, which is a left-wing rag. So, in the piece, they only talk about the two alleged attacks. Okay, that were on the photographer and the videographer, whatever, that he attacked them in a physical assault deal, right? Now watch this here. This piece here was Saturday. Here's a piece from the news.com.au. I don't know what that is, but it's Australian news, okay? From February of this year. It says, Marilyn Manson's ex, Rose McGowan, speaks about abuse allegations. Now, Rose McGowan is an actress. You know, you've seen her in movies before. She was engaged to him. Okay, I'm going to read something here that's kind of disturbing here. Well, she alleges here, first of all, that she was being groomed at the age of 15. So she was a teenager when she was being groomed by Marilyn Manson. Now, I want you to hear her quote. She goes, this is from McGowan. She goes, my statement, I am profoundly sorry to those who have suffered the abuse and mental torture of Marilyn Manson. There's more than one, y'all. There's like dozens. the pieces that I've read, you got to read different papers to really get the whole thing, because they don't just tell you in one piece. There's like 20, 30 girls, women. So I'm profoundly sorry to those who have suffered the abuse and mental torture. See, this is all part of their sex cult stuff of Marilyn Manson. When I say, watch this right here, you won't hear nobody saying this except Mel Gibson and what's the guy's name? Jim Caviezel, and maybe James Wood too. She says, when I say Hollywood is a cult, I mean the entertainment industry, including the music industry, is a cult. You hear the show? This is Rose McGowan. She was an A-list actress for a while. When I say Hollywood is a cult, I mean the entertainment industry, including the music industry, is a cult. Cults protect the rot at the top. She's exposing everybody at the top. She's saying the entire industry is one big satanic cult. Not just movies, music as well. There is a sickness that must be stopped. This is her quote. The industrial fame complex chooses who they protect and who they'll let be their victims for profit. So in other words, what she's saying is Bill Cosby was chosen by them to be the fall. Now he really is guilty of crimes, but he was chosen by them to be the fall guy. Harvey Weinstein was chosen by the deep state to be the fall guy. Who else? What was that? Matt Lauer. Anyone who was caught and had a big press about it, you know, about it, that they were allowed to, R. Kelly, they were allowed to be brought down in public so that they could, you know, say, well, see, we rid out the evil people, when really it's the entire industry. Now, not every actress, not every actor, not every singer. Okay, it's probably, you know, a handful of the ones, probably the ones that, you know, at the top with the big awards and stuff, and though doing the big award shows every year. It's probably those guys only. So she's exposing Hollywood. But what I saw earlier in the piece, and I can't find it offhand, but she says that she was cooperating with the federal authorities. She's been cooperating with the authorities for a long time, which means that she is spilling the beans on these people. I'm going to go on and read some more stuff. This is the headlines here. Daily Wire again. Okay. From what's today? Today is Monday. Or rather Tuesday, rather. So this is from yesterday. This is from a Sunday. Former Smallville actress speaks out before sentencing for role in sex cult. You hear this? She's a Hollywood actress. She played somebody, it was a Chloe on Smallville, if you're familiar with this show. It says, Allison Mack, best known for playing Chloe Sullivan on Smallville, is about to be sentenced for her role in recruiting and blackmailing women into joining the NXIVM sex cult. NXIVM sex cult. This is now news, and we've been saying this crap for years. And was called crazy. In a letter obtained by the court, well, I'm gonna read all the because she's basically begging for her life. You know, I don't want to go to jail. Don't kill me. I know I killed kids. I know I raped kids, but don't kill me. You need to go down. You need to be under the prison. You need to be out there. I'm gonna say it because I'll be shut down from in my podcast syndications. But you know what I'm talking about, though. If you commit the crime, I'm as a Christian, I hope to God you get saved before you die. I really do. I don't wish death on anybody. I hope you get saved before leaving this earth at some point in time. But I'm not gonna feel bad for you if you know when you catch your earthly beatdown in court in Gitmo. I'm not gonna feel bad for you at all. I'm not gonna be sitting there crying over you. Because you don't kill many kids, you don't drunk many blood, many kids' bloods. I can't feel sorry for people like that. Take a child. Are you aware they have hospitals where clinics? Right? It's probably clinics where they literally are just for breeding babies, and you can bring your baby up there because you don't want the baby. And they will sell that baby to a. It's unreal. It's legalized slavery. We're selling kids to people that we don't even know. And later on, find out that those kids are being abused because they're probably being sold into slavery for sex. Or they're probably being used for the blood transfusion, or rather the blood sacrifices. Who knows? Oh boy. I get really upset, man. Really upset. She, the actress from Smallville was claiming that she was following in the footsteps of Keith Raniere. Now, who is Keith Raniere? Keith Raniere is a co-founder of NXIVM, which he also was convicted of sex trafficking, and also pleaded guilty to to being a part of a sex cult, running a sex cult, right? Guess who his co-founder was? Lynn Foster, the Rothschild, meaning the Rothschild family. She was one of the heiresses, of the Rothschilds, was running the sex cult, getting funding from her family's fortunes, who runs the central banks that the U.S. and the entire world almost gets their money from. Do you see what's happening here? So now they're moving up the chain. By the way, the NXIVM arrest, that happened a year ago. I'm going to start whispering like Joe Biden. That happened a year ago. That was a year ago. It's not in the news. This guy's a crackpot. Have you ever seen a president before come on TV and whisper? Oh my God, man. I'm over my time here, but I'm almost done here. Keith Raniere, Lynn Foster, the Rothschild, co-founders of NXIVM, both of them convicted of child trafficking, pled guilty to running a sex cult. And Rose McGowan, a Hollywood A-lister, just said that Hollywood is a cult. Not just Hollywood, but the entertainment industry, meaning the music industry as well. She just said this. And now we're sitting here. That happened a year later. Now, mind you, the stuff is happening with Marilyn Manson. Okay, Rose McGowan was engaged to him. And by the way, he's being accused by like 30 different women. And I've read that before on an old podcast. But they were accusing him of like torture, of rape. Rose McGowan is too, of rape, mental abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, chaining her up in the room, depriving him of sleep. This is the stuff that they was going through with Marilyn Manson. And Marilyn Manson is like, we know who he is. So she's dropping dimes on the entire industry. What gave her the boldness to do this was that she saw that what Trump was doing, he was going after this crap. And that gave her the boldness to come out and say, you know what? Dang it. You know, I was one of them too. And you know what else? I read this last week. Pornhub is going down because they've literally found 59 kids that were missing for months on the Pornhub having sex with adults, being smacked around, all kinds of stuff to them. And they realized that these were missing kids. Well, they were kids when they were missing. Some of them were 17 and they became 18. They were legal, but they were still taken as a, even then, it don't matter. You were kidnapped. A lot of the girls, on there in these porn industries were kidnapped and sold into sex slavery. Are you hearing me? It's one, and I didn't spend time on that, last time, but like I wanted to, but you gotta be, and I know it's long, so I'm gonna get through this. You gotta be a sick person to sit up there and to watch. Okay, if you watch porn, that's one thing. It's sinful. You shouldn't do it. It's lusting after women or men or whatever, which is a sin. I'm saying. I know everybody. Everybody out there ain't a Christian. But I am. Okay, I'm gonna call it out. It is sinful. It will send you to hell. Okay, period. But back on the topic here, I want you to be saved, but I'm not preaching to your soul right now. If you're on these sites, and you're a man, let's say I'm gonna take a man. You're on the site and you're watching these girls do stuff on the videos. And you see a girl in the video that looks like she could be your daughter. And you're still looking at it. You're still watching it. How aren't you freaked out by that? How can you look at that young woman? It's probably a girl. You don't know what they're saying. She's 18. But you have common sense. If you have kids, you know what a child looks like. How they act. How they talk. You know. How can you look at that? How can you sit there, you know, and I ain't trying to shame you, but if you're a guy and you're hearing this podcast, I want you to think this through for a minute here. You could possibly be watching a child being forced into rape. Yeah, but she was enjoying it though. Yeah, so I doubt that. She was 18, they say. I don't care. If you're told we're gonna kill you, this is what we're acting here. Hello. And not only that, a lot of people who've been raped either fall in love with their abuser or harbor emotions when they enjoy some of the acts for a time with their abusers. It's Stockholm syndrome. That is very common. So they may be enjoying themselves in the video, and later on be like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" And that's the cycle. It's mental abuse. I can't even look at a female that's, you know, in that way on the street. If a girl is in a mall, or whatever, and she's real pretty, and you know she's probably 25, but she looked like she's, you know, a 17 or 16, I can't even look at her. It's just weird to me. I have a niece that she's now 20, but I have a niece that was getting looked at age 14, 15 years old. We're going to the mall, and I'm sitting there like, I'm ready to fight everybody. I'm like, oh, wait, hey, boy. I'm ready to snap. You better keep your eyes over there. I don't care how she look. She's 14. So anyway. So I went on a rant because it just certain things they get me. And I don't understand how people can do that. In my opinion, y'all, if you let me give me about 10 more minutes to get this out. In my opinion, when they put these young girls up there, not just, you know, on porn sites. Let's get off that for a while. Let's get on something else, something lighter. Let's say a Netflix show or a reality show, and they put up these girls, and the girls are doing these dance competitions, whatever. It's just my opinion, and they're on, you know, on these shows, they're twerking it, they're wearing makeup, and they're 9 years old, 12 years old, whatever, wearing makeup, they're dancing, you know, in front of adults, and you know, and to me, it's just like, they're trying to prep you to be a pedophile, in my opinion. It's like they're trying to get you to be used to the idea of looking at young girls in a sexual nature. So they overly sexualize the girls at 9 years old and 10 years old and 11 years old. The dress is shorter than, you know, than it should be. They got adult, you know, makeup on. They got eyelashes on. Some got wigs on. Or whatever. They got the big hair, the big adult hair, and they put them in movies and roles that makes them look like adults or make them act like adults. Well, it's not raped in stuff out because they have the parents' consent. Yeah, I get all that. If they're 16 years old, whatever, and they're allowed to do a love scene with, you know, another boy. Or even adult, because the parents, you know, they're of the age of the parental consent. I get all that, but in my opinion, those kinds of things, they're trying to get you, me and you, we're men. They're trying to get us men to be used to the concept of liking underage girls. That's just my opinion. I don't like it. I don't even watch scenes where, you know, where the girls look too young, and they're like doing stuff like that. I turn away. I'm sorry, I don't want to see this crap. But anyway, I went on this long tangent. So one of the Rothschilds is a part of this, and she's getting her money from them. The same ones who are also funding child trafficking are the same ones who are funding election fraud. Are the same ones who are funding all the insurrectionist acts or whatever people and organizations and groups, even the government, because now the government is being, see, this is the thing, on January 6th, rather 20, right, you know, actually is when it fully got commenced, or when it fully happened, it was completed. on the 20th of January, now the U.S. government and the state governments, not every person, but, you know, the majority of the governments, you know, the ones who were involved, the people involved, they've committed insurrection. They've completed the act of insurrection. They all knew, I said before, that these people, they all get a cut when the military catches fraud. They have 45 days to give a report to everyone in the government and both campaigns that there was fraud. They give them the evidence, they give them the documents, they give them the proof. So before December 14th, they all knew there was fraud. Everybody, the mayors, the governors, all of them did. Okay? Congress, Senate, both campaigns, Biden, Trump, they all knew it. And we're still sitting here talking about a Joe Biden presidency, right? So now the government, the entire government is accused or now has committed treason. So what happens? They're getting the money from who? The Federal Reserve Bank, who also funds the pandemic, who also funds the vaccine, who also funds child trafficking. You hear me here? So what that means is all of those funds, not just the money sent from the government to these agents, to these groups to cause insurrection, the corporations and whatever and all that stuff, but also the up trail where it came from, they're all illegal funds and need to be voided out. And to void something out, you put it back to where it was. You remove the last action and you put it back, which means Trump could have already confiscated everything without signing the 2018 EO. He never needed it. He never needed it. There's one more thing here that I'm going to add here. There's a piece from the Free Thought Project here. It says, billionaire heiress Claire Brothman was indicted. This is back in 2018, y'all. Indicted on racketeering charges. She is a billionaire heiress tied to the Rothschilds. They're a part of the same family. Same business dealings. Indicted on racketeering charges in federal court on Tuesday. This is July 25th, 2018. And she also was convicted of the same thing, by the way. So you can see that, you know, that she was convicted last year as well, along with Keith Raniere and Lynn Foster, the Rothschild. Okay, and they were all convicted, you know, in charge, and a lot more were too. And they're admitting sex trafficking, sex trafficking, sex cult stuff, and also they're all also tied to everything else, funding insurrection all over the world, but mostly in the U.S. And when this all hits the fan, and when Trump is ready to go, when he's ready to move, he's going to push that button. And everybody that's on that list, on the upstream and the downstream, will go down at the same time. Now, he won't do this before getting back into office. So don't expect Trump to just, you know, do it before he gets there. There would be an incident, probably a false flag, that will require the military to get involved to set things straight. And during that transition, you know, we'll get back in the office again. He will. And after he gets there, he can then begin to shut stuff down. He can order arrest. He'll have the optics. And he'll have the people with him. Because like Q said, crimes against humanity is a unifying cause or unifying thing here. No one is going to be supporting a child trafficker. No one is. If you are a child trafficker, you hurt kids, you're going to lose the support of both sides of the aisle. It's post 4566 on Q. It says crimes against children equals common denominator, no matter political affiliation. It says that this will trigger mass population awakening. This is why it says have faith in humanity. It's not saying, have faith in humans. What it's saying is, because people a lot of time, but what it's saying here, it's saying have faith in the humanity of people who they might not like you. They might want you to go somewhere to a hot place. They might want you to be shut down, lose your job and everything. But when you start bringing in kids, when kids are being injured, raped, sold into slavery, they tend to not care what party you're in. They're like, wait a minute here, this is sick. And now they're turning on you over that. It's not, kids are not political for the most part. Sometimes, you got some idiots out there who will make kids political. But even then, if you notice, when they attacked a Baron Trump, their own party attacked them. Why? Because you don't touch the kids. So this is all going to happen. And the kids are going to be the unifying factor here. This is why crime against humanity and child trafficking and stuff, it all has to come out at the same time. Because that's the only way to stop a riot from getting out of hand is information, with people understanding that the same ones that you're trying to protect are the ones who are doing these crimes, committing these crimes. So this is all strategy here, and they're going to release everything at one time. And I wonder what John McAfee has in store, because I don't believe he's dead. I don't believe he's dead because his dead man switch hasn't been activated yet. We haven't seen any files. Maybe it is, and it just takes forever to come out. But I don't believe that that he's dead, and this is all going to come out rapid, real fast now. This is why Trump is doing rallies now. He did one rally this past week. It was a Saturday or Sunday, and he's doing another rally on Sunday again, July 4th, in Florida, I believe. And he has another one, coming, in August. So he's doing his rally because he has to get out there and remind folks what he said would happen. And he's now being proven right, and he's winning over more people because the people who weren't before on his side now can hear him again and say, you know what? Trump was saying this before all this happened. And that's how people wake up. Are you aware that he was saying this for the last 4 years? And he was right. And now he doesn't look like a liar anymore. See, before he would say this, he's lying. He's a liar. And now we're seeing the results of what he was gone for 6 months or so. Hadn't said much. Everything Trump said would happen is happening. And now he comes back on the scene. Hey y'all, I told y'all it would happen, right? And I'm like, yeah, you know what? He did say that. And it, boom, light bulb on. People are awake. And it's time to move. So we're seeing Trump on the scene now because he's about to move ahead. He has to start the next phase of his plan. He had to go away. One thing Trump said was very key in his speech on Sunday. He said, there's all that's going on everywhere. And he says, I'm not a part of it. I'm not at all part of it. They're doing this. Why did he say that? Because he had to go away to show the people that he wasn't involved with this stuff, even though he is. That what's happening now is not a Trump thing anymore. It's now evolved into a people's movement. He rallied the people up against the deep state. And only when the people rise up, do we have a country again. Not in violence like they do. We're not Democrats. We don't burn. We don't loot. We rise up and we vote. We rise up and we attend rallies peacefully. We rise up. We give people heck until they pass laws and until they hold trials and cases. We make sure we hold our state officials liable for all things going on in their areas. Until they finally say, you know what? We need to get this straight before we lose our base. We are on the right track, y'all. And I know I went over too far today, but as far as time, but I hadn't done anything in a couple of days, and I want to get it all out in this one interview, in this one thing here, just to kind of make up for not doing one yesterday. So, well, we're almost there, y'all. And we should just I think it'll be fun to watch this unfold over the next few weeks. There's stuff happening right now. I'm talking to you right now. I'm getting updates and stuff here that I can't even talk about yet because I haven't fully looked at it. But there's updates coming in all the time. It went now 22 states that have seen the audit results, delegates. There's now I'm hearing that audits are being done or are being planning to be done already in 20 states. Now we'll see if they actually can follow through and get a vote on these states. But yeah, it's a wrap. But people say, well, we need two more states. We don't. Arizona alone is enough. How? Because if they recall their elections, like their votes, and don't give it to Trump, just recall it. And say, well, we don't know what's going on here. We won't recall it. Just leave it up in the air. Now we have a crisis on our hands because it requires 50 states for it to be a valid election, to vote one way or another. If one state says, we don't know, so we're going to just hold our vote until we find out. That means that we don't have 50 states that voted, which means that Joe Biden isn't the president. It's that easy, y'all. If they go that route. But I believe that they're going to want to probably go further and prove that the fraud is consistent in multiple states. But they could just say, you know what, we're going to recall these votes here and send it to a state count for recount, for a vote where we have 37 states majorities, 37 majorities, state majorities. So that's where we're headed. It's that easy. So the Arizona one is really that is the shot heard around the world. This is it. So they're delaying it for a reason, y'all. Because the moment they release the results, not only the results, but the moment they release when they're going to, let's keep it right here. The Senate and the Democratic Senate in Arizona left early. They didn't want to vote on the election, wanted to recall it on that. So they left early, months early. And now they can't vote. They could vote, excuse me, but while marking all of them absent. But the options on that are bad, obviously. So they're going to wait till August sometime when everyone comes back to office, into work, at some point, and then try to vote on it then. So that at least they're there, and they have to, they have to make sure that they put on the record they're not voting. Versus them not being there. And they say, oh, they can rush to the news. Oh, well, they voted while we wasn't even in the office. And so the optics of that would be damaging. That's people say, well, why is it delayed? It's delayed because of the fact that the Democrats in the Arizona Senate decided to leave for vacation early. And now, if they voted now, then it would look like, where they voted while they weren't there, so it's invalid. And that would be all you would see on the news for the next 3 or 4 weeks. So you wait until everyone's back. Then you vote. Make them have to find an excuse to not be there to vote versus them being on vacation. And that's how they wanted to do this thing. So But this is all going to be over soon. So just be in faith and be in prayer. And I'll see you on the next broadcast.